DW.
I'm standing on a hill outside of the small town of Rio Vista. It's about an hour and a half drive from San Francisco. And this is an important area for wind energy here in Northern California. There are wind turbines just about as far as the eye can see in almost every direction. But even though this is a massive wind farm, it's probably not really producing much energy today because it's just completely dead. There are a few turbines turning lazily in the distance, but most of them are completely still. And it just underscores some of the challenges that California will face as it heads towards a zero emissions future. And the goal is for an emissions-free electricity supply in California by 2045. So will they be able to do it?
I think at the rate we're going, it's going to happen much faster than that.
That's Mark Jacobson, an engineering professor from Stanford University, and he's optimistic that the transition is both manageable and affordable.
Solar in particular is taking off, and offshore wind, floating offshore wind, is now being zoned and sited and permitted off the California coast, and that's like the biggest resource of energy available, and the costs of offshore wind have dropped tremendously. Now they're even competitive with gas.
There's actually not too much disagreement in California when it comes to renewables. The state currently has a Democratic governor, but its last Republican governor, a certain well-known muscle-bound Austrian-born former actor, also had a strong commitment to renewables.
We flexed our muscles and we made a commitment and we created action.
That was Arnold Schwarzenegger speaking at the Paris Climate Change Conference in 2015. This time, the main objections to the legislation came from the utility providers, and they weren't fighting over the principle so much as the roadmap. Pacific Gas and Energy told DW that it's committed to renewables, but if it's not affordable, it's not sustainable. Catherine Phillips from the Sierra Club says even the utility's own numbers show that it's not an undue burden financially.
The increased efficiencies, storage facilities, the battery storage or other storage facilities, the costs there are unknown at this point, but there's the great potential that, just as all these other technologies have, the costs will go dramatically down as they're adopted.
This gas power plant, just down the road from the wind farm, has a 10-year guarantee to supply power to Pacific Gas and Energy. But obviously, there are questions about what happens to assets like this as California changes its energy mix. And as more renewables are introduced, the grids have to adapt too. And that's something utilities have also expressed concern over.
A lot of work ahead. No time for victory laps.
That's V. John White, the executive director of the Center for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Technologies. He agrees that the grid will be something of a challenge.
The grid was originally a one-way street, right? Power coming from the grid into your house. Now we have it coming back out, and we're seeing customers not only just providing solar through feed-in tariffs and stuff like that, but also providing services to the utility. So it becomes a smarter grid, a more resilient grid, but it requires planning. And this is where I think we need to do a better job of integrated planning.
But history shows that grids will adapt, according to Mark Jacobson.
And the adaptation, it's not like you need all of a sudden in one day you're going to have 100% renewables having had 0% the day before. I mean, this does happen over time. I mean, it's happening rapidly. But experience shows that grids adapt. I mean, it used to be said that you couldn't have more than 20% renewables on the grid at a time. But now we have states like Iowa has 42% on average in the year and sometimes 70% on the grid.
So, problem solved. The grid will adapt and renewables will be affordable. Everybody's happy, right? Well, not exactly.
It's been the frustration of my life to deal with the environmentalists on wind energy siting issues.
Right. So did you ever think it would be environmentalists that you'd be fighting over these issues?
Well, I have been fighting them for about 7 or 8 years. So, before that, maybe I didn't understand how what a roadblock it was going to be, but I certainly do now.
That's Nancy Rader, the executive director of the California Wind Energy Association. She says in theory, the legislation is great. What renewable energy advocate wouldn't want a 100% target? The devil, though, is in the details.
She says many people and governments love wind power just as long as you put it somewhere else.
We've placed about 5,000 megawatts in California, and we may not see much more than 1,000 megawatts or 2,000. And that's because cities and counties have largely said no to more wind energy. And the state and federal governments have said no to more wind energy in the vast California desert, which is kind of our next frontier.
You can avoid the not-in-my-backyard problem by putting turbines out at sea, but that's typically more expensive. For turbines on land, the problem is that some people simply don't like how they look. But it's environmental issues too, like the impact of turbines on rare tortoises or longhorn sheep. Nancy Rader says something's got to give.
Those same people that have those feelings are going to have to overrule the relatively few number of people that have to look at the wind and solar in the desert and other unpopulated areas and overcome the objections of a few. And so I'm hopeful that someday that will occur. And if it doesn't occur, I don't see how we meet these goals.
Others, like Catherine Phillips, are a little more optimistic.
I think environmentalists don't like to say that cutting one environmental impact is more important than cutting another environmental impact. I mean, that's always, you don't want to play Solomon. But,
but at some point, don't you have to?
I don't think we've gotten to that point yet. That's the thing. We might get to that point, but I don't think we have. I think there are plenty of innovators out there, especially on the wind area. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of places to appropriately place turbines. Mm-hmm. There's lots of opportunity for solar. There's still some geothermal, a lot of geothermal that hasn't been tapped.
Mm-hmm. For now, the question might be if one environmental value will have to make way for another. Timothy McDonald in Northern California for DW.
DW.